Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Welcome to Mr. Moss Live, another Messiah's Branch National Satellite Radio Program. We are broadcasting from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is January 29th, 2015. With Mission Watch Live, we are warning the world as it happens. If you need help with anything after this program, please call me. If you need a prayer, you can call me for that also. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. And an emergency, because we are here for you. My cell phone number is 316-619-4886. You can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Our program archives that can be found at prophecyhour.com and branch.podomatic.com are both really smartphone friendly. In fact, at branch.podomatic.com, they have an Apple app and an Android app on Google Play. So listen up, and I challenge each one of you to share with each two or three others this program. Now we'll say a prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest. It's going to be a really good program tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray, Father, I pray that radio goes tonight according to your will and not my will, nor my guest's will, Father, but please, your will, and give everybody out there ears in which to hear the truth. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name, amen and amen. Well, tonight's guest is an ultra-Orthodox Jew. In Israel, he made a leap of faith to find salvation through Messiah, Yeshua. Carl Gallups last week talked about him and how he is using the book to get people saved in Israel, basically Jews. The book is called The Rabbi Who Found Messiah, and I know many of you have listened to all our past programs about it, and Carl's brought him up numerous times. Anyway, that's the story of Rabbi Kaduri, the rabbi who did indeed find Messiah. To get Jews saved in Israel is the important thing, and to me, his story goes much, much far beyond by that, and to me, it's also, with Jews starting to get saved and turn to Yeshua, is a sign that I've particularly been looking for to let me know that we were indeed at the end of the age. So now let's welcome Zev Porat and hear his incredible story and let him tell us about it. Welcome, Zev. Are you there with me?
Yes, shalom, Pastor Dan. Thank you for having me, and God bless you.
Well, you're really coming in really good for being clear over there in Israel. But we have you on Skype, and I want to emphasize this to people. If you maybe are a future radio guest, you should get Skype because it comes in the most clear. Well, Zev, you have a really amazing story, and I really don't know where to start with it. So I'm going to put that ball in your court. Where do we start with the story of Zev Porat?
Well, first of all, I'll talk a little bit about myself a little bit. I grew up in an Orthodox family, and my father, grandfather, and ancestors were all rabbis. I was supposed to be a rabbi by the grace of our Lord and Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach. Many, many years ago, someone was sharing the gospel with me on the internet, and after 4 years of listening to him on the internet, I did an investigation. I interviewed 32 rabbis in Israel. I received 26 different answers for the same question, and I had a Damascus Road experience. Holy Spirit fell upon me, and I accepted Yeshua as my personal Savior. Since then on, I've been preaching the gospel of Yeshua HaMashiach everywhere, and I've seen a lot of souls saved a lot of healings, but what's happening in the past year and a half to 2 years with the Kaduri Revival, I've never seen anything like this happen before. And the book, The Rabbi Who Found Messiah, is opening the door for Jews to look at the written word of God. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But the Jewish people, how are they going to be saved if they don't want to read the written word of God? And this book, The Rabbi Who Found Messiah, is taking them direct to the written word of God, and souls are being saved like never before. And we give all the glory to Yeshua the Messiah.
Let me come in here a minute. I want to back up before we get completely into that story. I want to talk a little bit more about you, because I believe letting the people know who the messenger of this is important for them to understand your story and to believe what is going on and see the miracle of it as I do. You make it sound simple. Well, you converted. Well, what didn't you go through a lot of pain and persecution to start following Yeshua, accept him as your Savior?
Yes, I did, Pastor Dan, but I want to make something clear. I don't believe that I converted, because I believe if you're born a Jew, you will die a Jew. The difference is, if you're a believer in Yeshua HaMashiach, you are a completed Jew. So I never used the word converted. I just used the word, I'm now a completed Jew.
Oh, amen. I agree. Excuse me if I don't talk quite the same language that you do, so to speak, but I do understand what you're saying, and I believe that also. You know, most people don't understand that. You know, we have a whole church out here that doesn't even understand that Yeshua was Jewish and that the first apostles were all Jewish, and that is what really got them saved, so to speak.
Well, absolutely. And, well, of course, you know, the word conversion is okay. There's nothing wrong with using that. But when we say conversion, especially when we're speaking to Jewish people, it's a big stumbling block, because the first reaction they have, myself including, before I was a believer, oh, they want to convert me. They want to turn me away from being Jewish. They want to make me a Christian. And we're not trying to make them Christians. We're trying to make them Messianic Jews, which are Christians, but they're completed Jews. So I think that it's important to understand that if anybody ever speaks with Jewish people, to emphasize that you're still a Jew, but you're a completed Jew.
Yeah, amen, amen. Well, you have an incredible story. Why don't you take us a little bit into what you faced, your persecution? Back to you.
Well, you know, I grew up, as I mentioned before, in a family of rabbis, and I used to study in a yeshiva. Yeshiva is a rabbinic cemetery for rabbis. And my father received a position in California when I was a boy, so we moved there, and I ended up living in California for a few years. That's where I picked up my English, but my mother's tongue is still Hebrew. Eventually, my father passed away, and we moved to Israel, but by his request, we moved his body to be buried in Israel in a rabbinic cemetery in the city of Bnei Brak, where my family is and where I grew up most of my life, which is an Orthodox city located 15 minutes north of Tel Aviv. It's probably the most Orthodox city in Israel. So that's where I grew up. It's called Bnei Brak. And my grandfather became like a father to me, and I wanted to go to the IDF, and my grandfather said, you're not going to the IDF because you are going to be a rabbi. You're going to study in rabbinic school. And I practically begged my grandfather to go. He agreed on the condition that I would go to study in rabbinic school, which is the yeshiva. And I asked my grandfather, how can I study in a yeshiva and go to the IDF, to the Israeli army? And he says, we're rabbis, we have power, I'll make a few phone calls and I'll take care of it. So I have no idea who he called. He called someone and he was able to organize for me to leave the IDF three times a week and study my rabbinic studies. To make a long story short, I graduated from being from rabbinic school and finished the army, and eventually got drifted away from being an Orthodox Jew. I would say I was forced into being an Orthodox Jew. As I finished the army, I got drifted away from being an Orthodox Jew, and I started living a life of sin. And eventually, I ran away to the internet to run away from God. But you can't run away from God. God will find you anywhere. And he found me on the internet in a very sinful chat room. And a man from California, the place I grew up as a boy, met me there in that chat room, found out I was from Israel, started to preach the gospel to me using the New Testament, the Brit HaKadoshah, and I told him I'm Jewish, I don't want to get into the New Testament, so he backed off, he started preaching Yeshua HaMashiach through the New Testament, through the Old Testament, the Tanakh, and after interviewing 32 rabbis and after 4 years, I was saved, I had a Damascus Road experience, and then I began 26 months of severe persecution. Answer your question about persecution. I worked for a company at that time. I got fired from my job for believing in Yeshua HaMashiach after 2 years of being there. Ended up losing our home. Me and my wife, Lynn, were on the beach for 3.5 months. After that, God blessed us, got us a home, got us a place, and put me in full-time ministry.
Well, let me say something here. That we call it persecution, of course. Of course it was, but, you know, do you think that that also, for the people, I understand it, but don't you think that that was a test of faith before the Father took you to take you into the ministry you're in?
Absolutely, Pastor Dan, because I remember when we arrived to the beach, my wife turned to me and she asked me a question. She said, doesn't the Bible say God is going to bless us? Doesn't the Bible say God is going to take care of us? And I remember turning to my wife, and this is what I told her. I said, look, I don't know everything, but I do know that God is not the author of evil, but God can allow it. And I know God is going to bless us. This is going to be a test. And I said that not knowing how long we're going to be on the beach. We ended up living on the beach for 3.5 months in a tent and packing up the tent every night and doing the same thing for 3.5 months. But after, God really blessed us, and we went through a lot of persecution, including from my family. My family disowned me. My friends disowned me. I had rabbinic rabbis come to our tent at 12 o'clock at night from the seven rabbis from the main rabbinic movement of Israel, from the Sanhedrin. And they offered to, they wanted to bribe me and give me money and take me back. And they said that, you made a mistake. You're supposed to be a rabbi. Come with us. And when I refused and I said I would never deny the Lord Yeshua, they spit on me and cursed our Savior. And, that was just being 2 months on the beach. So yes, to answer your question, it's a big test. But I would do it all again, and I wouldn't be standing here, sitting here today, speaking to you from Israel and preaching the gospel if I wouldn't go through that.
Yeah, amen. I believe the greater the test, the greater the persecution, the greater the blessing and the use that he has for us, because, you know, he wants to test us. He wants to see, you know, if we're strong enough, and, you know, he refines us in the fire, so to speak, does he not, brother?
Amen, amen. That's so true. But you know what? I've been to China, I've been to other places, and I've seen persecution there too as well. And so, I mean, there's persecution all over the world. We are in the end times right now, and more persecution is going to happen to believers. But the ones who stand firm, the true bride of Yeshua HaMashiach, those are the ones who are going to make it.
Yeah, amen. I love it to hear somebody else call Yeshua HaMashiach so much. It really warms my heart. While our congregation, our small congregation, and our mission church does, but predominantly, you know, I like that better. Anyway, let's go with this. So how did you get hooked up with Carl Gallups and the rabbi who found Messiah?
Well, as I said before, I've been preaching the gospel for many, many years. And one evening I was coming back. This was about the end of 2011. I was coming back from an outreach. It was 11 p.m. at a neighborhood in Tel Aviv. And an Orthodox Jew approached my car. And I remember my wife saying, don't talk to him right now. And I said, it's 11 o'clock, because she knew we're going to get into a long conversation. And I said, look, I feel the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, is calling me to talk to this man. I need to talk to him. So I rolled down the window. And he had a blessing card in his hand. It was a card of Rabbi Yitzchak Kaduri. And he pulls in the note and he sticks it in my car. And I said, God bless you. I can't accept this. And he asked me why. And we're at a light. And I said, because I believe that Yeshua, Jesus, is the Messiah of Israel. And he looks at me and he says, so do I. And I was in shock. And I said, I'll pull the car over and we'll talk. So I pulled the car over the light and we talked. And then I found out that Rabbi Yitzchak Kaduri was teaching in his yeshiva, in his rabbinic school, that Yeshua is the Messiah to certain groups quietly, but he wasn't teaching the full gospel. He wasn't teaching about the resurrection. So these students were not saved yet. So God brought them on my path. I started opening discipleship programs with them. We started studying the word together, secretly, kind of like in China, the underground churches. We kind of had like an underground rabbinic seminary. And we started to study the word. And then this guy, Eliyahu, I would say he's in his early 60s. Suddenly one day the Holy Spirit, after 9-10 months, hits him and he accepts Yeshua as his personal savior. He understood the full gospel. He understood the missing puzzle. And he became a fireball. And he said, I want believers praying for me all over the world. That's when we did the first video of the Rabbi Kaduri student saved and Eliyahu. And then from then on, I went into the yeshiva because my family, as I mentioned, my grandfather was Rabbi Pinchas Port. He was connected with the Sanhedrin here in Israel, and he was very, very good friends with Rabbi Yitzchak Kaduri. So I was pretty much able to penetrate into the yeshiva and into the seminars. So they didn't know why I was there. They would have kicked me out if they would have known. But right. I met many, many students, and Eliyahu also introduced me to other ones, and I found out that many of his students knew that Yeshua is the Messiah, but were scared to come forth. They didn't understand the full gospel. So we started to teach them and to share with them, and 10 of them got saved, confessed their life, gave their life to Yeshua HaMashiach. And recently the 11th one came up. But I can tell you, Pastor Dan, that there's more and more. The veil is being lifted. We have at least another 8 Orthodox Jews confessing Yeshua as the Messiah because the Rabbi Kaduri students came out.
Well, I guess what we should do, just for some people that maybe haven't heard the programs I did with Carl, about Kaduri, explain how important of a rabbi he was, what kind of man he was, and why it was caused such a uproar when this happened.
Well, Rabbi Yitzchak Kaduri was the most venerated rabbi in the modern-day history of Israel. I would say, at least in the past 100 years or 150 years, he was the most famous rabbi. If you go walk around Israel, even not in the Orthodox area, just the secular Jews, atheists even, okay, and you ask them who Rabbi Yitzchak Kaduri is, everybody knows. A 5-year-old kid knows who he is. He was he's pretty famous. He's known for in politics, and he passed away at the age of 108 at 206. But at 205, in October 205, he gave a message in the Day of Atonement, which is Yom Kippur, in a synagogue. Now that's quite unique because rabbis don't give messages. Rabbis read from the Torah scroll. Rabbis give a blessing and a bar mitzvah, but they don't give messages. And the fact that he gave a message was already, number one, the first supernatural thing. Number two is what he gave in the message. And what he said in the message is that he met the Messiah, he knows the name of the Messiah, and he will reveal the name of the Messiah in a note 1 year after his death. But he also said something else, which is unbelievable, and we have testimonies of people who went to that synagogue and heard Rabbi Yitzchak Kaduri say this. He said that we cannot have forgiveness of sins from fasting or from praying, but only from the Messiah. Now, what he said in the synagogue is a stoning offense according to Judaism. According to the law of Moses, he was supposed to be stoned for doing that. I believe he wasn't stoned for two reasons. Number one, because who he was. And number two, because it was the master plan of God. He shocked his synagogue when he said that.
Yeah, I can imagine that. I can see the whole place all of a sudden getting quiet and breathless, Go ahead.
I'm getting goosebumps right now just telling you the story again.
What? Amen. It's a story that we all need to hear. Go ahead. Don't let me interrupt.
Anyways, he passed away. And at 207, the note was open. No one knew that the note would say Jesus, Yeshua, so they posted it on his website. His son, David Kaduri, and his whole movement, they probably thought that one of the rabbis is the Messiah or somebody, some other rabbi, so they posted it on his website. It was in a code. 2 months later, or 12 weeks later, the note was open, decoded, when it said that the name of the Messiah is Yeshua, or Yehoshua, Jesus. They immediately took the note off the website, eliminated it, said the notes are fake, the media shut it down, but it was too late because everybody already downloaded it. It was already all over the internet. Israel Today did a publication on it. It was on his website, kaduri.net and kaduri.org. And they're still saying it's a fake. And we kind of hit a brick wall with this because we were sharing this story in the streets, but the Jewish people weren't listening because it wasn't documented. And I started to pray to God, and I was praying to God, the Jewish people are not listening. It can't be that this rabbi, this most venerated rabbi, left a note just to be, you know, tucked away and that's it. There's got to be something more than this. And that's how I met Carl Gauss, because he published the book. And the book, I didn't know about the book. I was in the book and in the DVD. I didn't know Carl yet. I didn't know about the book. And I was praying for God somehow to open some kind of evangelistic tool or some way to reach the Jewish people. Me and my wife were praying. Little did I know that Carl was praying in the United States for the book to reach Israel. And somebody from Indiana ran into a bookstore, saw it, met Carl, and somehow got the book here to Israel to me. He felt he needed to bring it to Israel. I saw the book, and I was fascinated by the book. I read it, and in fact, the first time I read the book, I read it on a train. And this is how I found out how this book is an evangelistic tool. When I was on the train, I was reading the book, and Jews were coming to me on the train and saying, "That's Rabbi Yitzhak Kaduri." Because, you know, there's a big photograph of him on the cover. And I said, "Yes, is that a new book about him?" And I said, "Well, it's a new book. It's about his life and everything." And I started to speak to people. Before I knew it, half of the train was already listening to the gospel. I understood what a powerful tool I had in my hand. And then from that time on, we started to use the book to reach Jewish people, because What the listeners need to understand is that Jewish people, not only Orthodox Jews, also secular Jews, don't read the Tanakh. They don't read the Bible.
Really?
They think they read the Bible.
Let me break in, brother, because we've got less than about 30 seconds before we go to a station break. So tell the people how to find you on the internet. What's your email, or, you know, not email, but your website?
Our website is messiahofisraelministries.org. You can sign up to get our newsletters live from Israel. We've also got a Facebook page, Messiah of Israel Ministries. And we'd love to hear from you. Send us an email.
Don't you also take messages to the Wailing Wall Forum?
Yes, we also have a prayer on the Wailing Wall that you can send in. There's a form over there, and we take the messages, the prayers to the Wailing Wall. Yes, and we have... Once or twice a month, we have also all-night or all-day prayers that are posted in our newsletter.
Okay, we got to go to a break. Sorry, brother, but we got to go to a break. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold. gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click satellite system.
Closed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com. Or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Mission Watch Live on the American Voice Radio Network. Please remember to pray tonight about a donation for work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Support us so we can care for the people that the Father sends us. We get no real help from any organized churches or government agencies. For sure, no government agencies. It is the only folks like you that have supported us for now our 15th year. Well, June will be our 15th year that we've been doing this, and that will what makes the mission church work. Now, people have asked about the women's shelter that we were donated. You know, everything that we do is out of faith. When we started this ministry, the Father told me to do it, so we just got up and started doing it. I didn't wait till I fundraised and had the money. Well, with the woman's shelter, I've been trying to find support for the place before I opened the doors because, you know, money's tight right now just to keep the mission church going, but as you guys know that. But anyway, so the point being is we prayed about it, and really we're going to put in – we've already got one woman we're helping and two men down on the end that are caretakers. We're putting in – we're going to be putting in four women real soon. We're basically opening the door, stepping out in faith. And so, yes, Mercy Woman's Shelter is officially open. The other day, we went on Tuesday, we went to our mission church and we took a gallon of olive oil and I put some other anointing oil in it and we blessed it and made it smell real good because smells a lot of things when you do anointing oil. But we blessed it for the use that we were going to do. And drilled a hole in the bottom of it, and we placed a bloodline clear around the property of the woman's church and prayed over it. And we went into all the rooms and an elder in the faith blew a shofar in all the rooms to get rid of anything that might be lingering there. And so the place has been blessed and it's been given over to holy ground. And so we expect great things to happen with it according to his will and not our will, to glorify him. So, you know, so why do so many people come to us? Well, because we don't have any set guidelines like programs, and the only programs I have are radio programs, and people just walk in the door and ask for help, and we fill the need if we have it and we feel that it's a real need. If not, we pray it in. This is why even the agencies tell all their employees about the Potter's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send people to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that really has no budget. We are the very last hope for so many, and we are, folks, responsible to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. You can donate online or by mailing a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com or simply call me at 620-878-4682. And now we're back with Zev Peratt. Are you still with me, Zev?
Yes, I am. Shalom. God bless you.
Yeah, God bless you, too. And I got in trouble just now. My producer said I cut you off real abruptly. So if I did, I'm sorry for that. I was just trying to get the break before he started the music. So I apologize, brother.
All good, all good. All in God's timing, Pastor Dan.
All right. Amen. Well, can you pick it up where you left off? You were really going good, we were talking about.
I think that I'm going to reverse a little bit and go back and explain a little bit to the listeners the importance of Rabbi Kaduri so they can understand how this note is so amazing and how it's end-time prophetic stuff. Because, first of all, as I started to explain, Jewish people don't read the Bible. They don't read the Tanakh. We think that we read the Tanakh. If you were to ask me before I was a believer in Jesus, in Yeshua, do you read the Bible? I would say, yes, of course. I read it every day. But what I was really reading was rabbinic interpretations that interpret the Bible, and I was reading books that interpret the books that read the Bible. You see, this is how the enemy has implanted in Judaism a way that the Jewish people will not see that Yeshua is the Messiah. Of course, the Bible says that Israel has been blinded until the fullness of the Gentile. We know it's God's plan. But this is how the enemy has used this plan, okay? I would say it's God's plan, but this is how it comes to effect. And so the Jewish people don't read the Bible. And the Bible says, as I said before, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So they read rabbinic interpretations, and most of the rabbinic interpretations, when it comes to the messianic prophecies, deliberately change the prophecies or say that they're not Yeshua or say that you can't read it. It's not about the Messiah. It's about Israel. Or don't read this verse. Isaiah 53 is never read in the Haftorah readings in the synagogue. From 52 to 54, nothing's read. Other verses, Micah 5:2 is never read. Psalms 2 is never taught anywhere. You won't even hit in a secular school. They just jump over Psalms 2, which is, of course, Yeshua HaMashiach. So, If you go to school here in Israel, a secular school, not just an Orthodox school, and you want to pass the examination in a school, you're going to have to answer what the rabbis say. And there's two main commentators in Israel for the Jewish people. One is Radak and one is Rashi. But the great master plan of God is this. The rabbis, the Sanhedrin, testify way before this book ever hit, way before the revelation of Rabbi Yitzhak Kaduri, that Kaduri's interpretation of the Tanakh, of the Bible, is over those two rabbis. So that means that whatever Kaduri says is over the interpreters of the Tanakh. So when we show them the book, when we read the book with them, and they see the revelation that Rabbi Yitzhak Kaduri said that Yeshua, Jesus, is the Messiah, they can't say we want to go see what the rabbis say, because they know that he was the greatest rabbi of all. And that's the master plan of God.
Yeah, amen. Amen. That's great. So let me get this straight. So by his authority, so that's why it caused such an earthquake, because he's so important by his authority, he's over these other interpreters. So it isn't a wonder it almost caused an earthquake, and probably still is.
It's still causing an earthquake. We get threats from Yad Lachim, which is an anti-missionary organization. I get emails all the time telling me to stop using the book in the streets, stop sharing these lies, because they're scared. I mean, nothing's changed in 2,000 years. They're scared to lose their power. But I can tell you, Pastor Dan, that there are many, many Orthodox Jews that believe that Yeshua is the Messiah, and they're scared to come out. I'm talking about yeshiva students in rabbinic cemetery that are sitting today in seminars in Israel, in Jerusalem, in Haifa, in Tel Aviv, and in their heart they know Yeshua, Jesus, is the Messiah, and they're scared to come out. They secretly study the Word of God. And this Kaduri revival, we call it a Kaduri revival. Of course, there is no revival without the Word of God. But again, yeah, this master plan of God is leading people to the Word of God and to salvation. And the more salvations we have, the more the book and the DVD is hitting the streets of Israel, the more people are starting to come out and starting to ask questions, and that's when the revival begins. And just like, you know, I believe as sin exhalates to a different level, because we're seeing sin exhalating all over the world, also in Israel, to a level we've never seen before, but so is the gospel exhalating to a higher level. And that's the master plan of God. And yes, we're seeing salvation after salvation after salvation. We give all the glory to our Lord and Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach. We're small people with a big God. Only the Holy Spirit can do it. But again, the book is opening the Bible to the Jewish people, not just to the Jewish people, also to the Arabs. Muslims are coming to faith. We preach the gospel in mosques, in synagogues, in China. I just came back from China a few months ago. I was in the underground churches. I had no idea that I was going to share Rabbi Yitzchak Kaduri over there. When I packed my bags, God said, I want you to take the books and the DVD, put them in the bag. I thought it was to reach the Jewish people. When I hit the streets of China, there's a lot of Muslims in China right now, unfortunately. You see mosques everywhere. And so I started to share the gospel over there in China, and the Muslim asked me, where are you from? I said, I'm from Israel. And he said, well, your own people don't believe in Jesus. You want, so you come talk to us? Why do you get on an airplane and fly across the world to tell us about Jesus? And then I said, well, that's not true, because the biggest rabbi believed in Jesus. And he wanted to hear about it. And the next day, because I didn't have the book with me, because I didn't expect taking the book in the street with me, the next day I had an appointment with him and his imam, and he was reading the book with me, and then he put his Quran down, went to the Word of God. I have Bibles, a Bible in Arabic, read and Chinese, and he read the Bible in Arabic and Chinese, and his imam gave his life to Yeshua HaMashiach, and we were able to capture some of it on film.
Wow. Let me give a couple little things here real quick while I'm thinking of them. I read some statistics about Christians in China, and heard it from some other speakers, but they say in a little over 10 years there will be more. There's such a revival actually going on, though, in China, that in 10 years there will be more Christians in China than anywhere else in the world. I also know that, like Joel Richardson, that just did the new DVD, End Time Eyewitness, and wrote the book Islamic Antichrist. Right now he's over, I'll just say he's 15 miles from the Iranian border, because he went back because there's a huge revival going on in Egypt for the Muslim, within the Muslim community. And Muslims are by the scores, are turning over to Messiah. Actually, the biggest revivals in the world, Zev, are going on everywhere but one place, and that's the United States. Back to you.
Well, you know, we are in the time of the fullness of the Gentiles. The Chinese underground churches understand the importance of Israel. And because they understand the importance of Israel, because they're blessing Israel, because they understand that the Hebraic roots, the first believers were Jewish, the apostles were Jewish, Yeshua was Jewish. They understand that everything came from the Jews, and they're teaching that to their churches. So that's why there's revival. That's and their revival is lifting up the veil in Israel, not just their revival, also places the United States. I mean, Pastor Dan, you're a supporter of Israel. I know that Carl Gallup's a supporter of Israel. I know some other people, so not everybody. But the ones who are supporting Israel, the ones who are blessing Israel, the ones who are teaching about Israel, they are responsible for the fullness of the Gentiles right now. We're seeing the veil being lifted, 2 Corinthians 3:16, right now here in Israel. And that's why there's a revival.
For the people, a lot of people, you know, we have to keep going back and pick things up so people that don't understand. What do you mean, or what does the word mean by, can you put it simply, what the fullness of the Gentiles is? Because a lot of people, I'm sure, are going, what's he talking about?
Well, the Bible says that Israel's been blinded until the fullness of the Gentiles comes in. That has begun right now. I'm not going to say that it's completed. I'm saying we're in that time right now. That's why the veil is being lifted. And the gospel is coming back to Israel, coming back to Jerusalem, and then we go home. So basically what I'm saying right now is the revival that you're seeing in many places in the world is because those places understand the role of Israel, understand what the Bible says, understand what the Hebraic roots are, and that's why they're experiencing revival, and that revival is causing the veil to being lifted in Israel, and that's why we're seeing a revival here in Israel as well. So we've been in the end times. The end times started when Yeshua HaMashiach ascended to the Father, but there's never been a generation closer to the end times than this generation right now.
Yeah, amen. I totally agree with you. One of the signs that I see, you know, when I first came out of the world over 25 years ago, and I started studying the Word, you know, I studied it on my own, and then, you know, I didn't see things quite lining up, you know, with the, you know, the normal church, so to speak. But then about 10 years into it or whatever, then I started coming across people that are now called Hebrew roots people that are craving to go back to their Hebrew roots and wanting to support Israel. And that is the explosion that's in the United States right now, is there's loads and loads of people going back these Hebrew roots movements and starting their own congregations or doing it in house churches and so on and so forth. So that is a sign of the end time, is it not?
Absolutely. But, you know, when you say going back to the Hebraic roots, we're not talking about going back to religion. We're talking about going to the foundation of the Tanakh, foundation of the Bible. Because Yeshua said, Jesus said in Matthew 5:17, I did not come to abolish the Torah, but to fulfill it. And Yeshua is the walking Torah. Yeshua is the living Word. So if we understand that, that's the true Hebraic roots. When you go and you start going into religion, that's the problem. So that's my answer. If you want to be Torah observant, then you be Torah observant according to what Yeshua HaMashiach did and not according to Judaism.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you don't have to convert it to be, in the sense of the word, I use this right. You don't have to convert to being a Jew. You just start following the Torah. Like it says, you know, in John, he says, the Word was made flesh and tabernacled among us. That was Yeshua. He is the walking, living Torah. He was alive then, and he's alive now, and he'll be alive when he returns as a lion of the tribe of Judah. That's just incredible, isn't it?
Amen, absolutely. And back to our story with the revival here in Israel. So right now, Jews are being saved in Israel like never before. And I'll tell you what happens. What happens is usually we go on the street, I start sharing the gospel. A lot of people don't want to read the gospel. They say, we've got to go to the rabbinic interpretations. Let's see what the rabbis say. And I say, okay, do you know Rabbi Yitzhak Kaduri? And they say, sure. And I say, well, who was he? And they say, he was the greatest rabbi that ever lived. And I say, well, I've got a book here about Rabbi Kaduri. And when you pull out the book, it doesn't matter who it is. That person just starts to glow. And he says, let me see that book. It's like a magnet. They're drawn to it like magnets. I've never seen anything like it, Pastor Dan. And they start reading the book with me. It's in English, but of course we have the DVD with subtitles in Hebrew. But I can tell you that here in Israel, most of the new generation, 85% speak English well. So it's not a problem. So they start reading the book with me in English, the passage, until they reach the page where there's a note in Hebrew revealing the name of the Messiah. And when they see the name Yeshua and they see how it was decoded, it was decrypted, and they read it in Hebrew, That's when they start to shake. And usually they want to see the written word of God. They say, how can this be? We've never heard about this. We recognize the handwriting. We recognize the stories of Kaduri. And then you say the media shut it down. The rabbi shut it down. We have a Jew confessing on camera saying, if this is true, that means the rabbis are keeping me from salvation. And he's not the only one that says that. So people are beginning to understand what's happening. They want to go to the written word of God. It's exploding everywhere in Israel right now. We give all the glory to Yeshua the Messiah. And we're going to keep on preaching the gospel until Romans 11:26. Kol Yisrael Yivashah, all Israel shall be saved. But I also want to emphasize, Pastor Dan, it's not just an evangelistic tool. I believe it's also a tool for prayer. And I'll explain what I mean by that. The Bible says in Psalms 122:6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Now, we all know that verse, but if we know what we're praying about, if we understand what the spiritual warfare is, if we understand the mindset of a Jew, then we know how to pray about the spiritual warfare better. This book explains the mindset of the Jewish people, explains what the Jewish people think about the rabbis. So when you read this book, you also know how to pray for Israel. It's an end-time prophetic book, and it's leading Jews to salvation.
Yeah, amen. I was really pretty amazed when I got the book. WorldNet Daily sent it to me. Like, they send me, you know, new releases or whatever, and I read it, and I just found it incredible, and I immediately got Carl on, and I couldn't believe how well written he had did it for, you know, well, I'll say that, for being a Gentile, because he explained everything from different levels. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. You know, I hear many people saying, you know, Gentile, but I want to just make something real clear. Most of the Israeli Jews that were saved in Israel and around the world were saved from a Gentile, myself included. So God is using the Gentiles to bring in the Jews. This is end time stuff. The one who preached the gospel to me was not a Jew. He was a Gentile. And Carl wrote the book under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So he just wrote what God told him to write, and he did a great job. And if it wasn't for him writing the book and being obedient to the Holy Spirit, the book wouldn't be in Israel today, and the Kaduri revival wouldn't have started. So it's all part of God's master plan.
Yeah, amen. I honestly believe that. And that's really what I meant, you know, because it's inspired, meaning because, you know, it's not something that you would normally see let's go with this, folks. It is a miraculous book. If you haven't read it, you need to read it. And what you'll do with it, as what I found, Zev, is that I want to keep going back and referring to it. So it's a book that is, it's more like a reference book. Beyond being a prayer book, it's also a reference book. I want to keep going back and double-checking the facts.
Absolutely. It's a book that talks about the life of Yitzhak Kaduri from the time that he was born in Iraq and all, you know, the whole history. It shows all the history, and it eventually gets to his revelation that Yeshua is the Messiah. But the book is written in a way that you can really understand everything about Judaism and about their mindset about the Messiah and who they think the Messiah is. So it's very important. But for the Jewish people, for them, Rabbi Kaduri is like, for the ones who are not saved, he's almost like God. I would, you know, I'm careful to say that, but that's how they view him.
Carl had a real good analogy. It'd be like, you know, Billy Graham to us, you know, and so to speak, that big of a leader. But let's go with this. What I want to know is, we've got about 4 minutes left. What I want to know is, are there enough books getting into your hands?
Well, we got a big shipment, and I know that God will supply more books when we need them.
Amen. Then if somebody interested in your ministry or the ways that they can help you beyond the obvious, praying for you, but, you know, and that's faith, but faith is an action word, and we also, you know, so we're supposed to step out in faith and do things. Is there any way that people can help you, Zev?
Well, our ministry is supported by, you know, by the Holy Spirit, of course, and by God. And if anybody feels led to give, then you can go to our website, Messiah of Israel Ministries. .org, and they can give a donation over there that helps us to preach the gospel here in Israel. And we also have discipleship programs where we start opening discipleship programs all over Israel. So we have groups of Orthodox Jews here, secular Jews here, atheist Jews here, because we want every group to feel comfortable. We have Arab believers coming in and the secular programs. So you can donate to that too. All that information will be given out on the website, and also if you sign up to our newsletters, we send out updates on that from time to time. We also support the poor people, the Holocaust survivors, but we don't just go to the Holocaust survivors and give them food and a Bible and leave. We give them the full gospel, and that's very important because the Bible says that Jesus says man should not live by bread alone, but every word that comes out of the mouth of the Lord. So we believe that when we help the poor, we also need to give them the full gospel. And that's what we do at Messiah of Israel Ministries.
Well, that's fantastic. You know, you're really being used in these end times. And you know, the signs that I see in you and I see this going on, you know, really confirm my faith, because I knew there would have to be a revival in Israel in the end time. And so I'm seeing that now, as let alone as worldwide. But I believe one thing, that for every one of the every Jew that comes to Messiah, being a Jew, doesn't that make them such more powerful of a teacher that they can then bring other Jews because they're a Jew?
Well, Pastor Dan, I think we had this conversation last week. You know, the Bible says to the Jew first, but it never says to the Jew better.
Yeah, you know, we did.
Romans 11, 16, 17 says that we're all grafted into the olive tree. Romans 11, 25 says that the Jews are going to be grafted back into the olive tree.
Olive tree.
And John 10, verse 16 says, one flock, one shepherd, we're all the same in Yeshua HaMashiach. So if you're a new covenant believer, you become spiritually Israel. And
amen.
Bottom line is the Holy Spirit speaks through all of us, so it's to the Jew first and not to the Jew better.
Yeah, amen. And you know what, brother, I just had to pull your string to get you to say it to the people, because I wanted you to say that to the people. So that's great. Well, we really run out of time. Zev, will you come back on again sometime?
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. It was a blessing, and may the Lord Yeshua bless you, and shalom.
All right. Well, goodbye and shalom to you, my brother. And we'll send out a link to your website, and we'll get this up in the podcast and YouTube, and I'll send you the link. So you be blessed, my brother. We'll talk again. Bye-bye. Well, folks, that was Zev Peratt. You know what? Listen to what he said. He's saying just because he's Jew doesn't mean that he's better. You know, that was a really important thing that I'm glad I pulled a string so that he said that. It isn't just about blood. What it's about is believing in Yeshua. It's like this. It's what I always say. We must remember there is only one God. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. And he did what? He gave his life for your repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Remember 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, because that is the only sign given to a wicked and perverse generation. 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. So it doesn't matter anything else. You'd be grafted into Israel, Yeshua, if you believe and repent. That's the point. Anyway, through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Remember to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your soul. And then love your neighbor as yourself. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Messiah's return. So I'm going to get out of here. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, I ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.